He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday morning. It is the December 18th live edition of the Best Stocks Now radio hour with professional money manager, Bill Gunderson, president of Gunderson Capital Management. I am live in Orlando, Florida. Orlando, Florida, not too far from Disney World, where we will be headed later this week. And it's going to be 82 degrees here in Orlando today.
Wow.
And I imagine it's nice in the Carlsbad area, too. What we've got going on is a rally. Can you say R-A-L-L-Y, rally time? Get out the rally towels. We've got the market up right now, 200 points on the Dow. Are you getting tired of winning yet?
I'll tell you what.
I mean, it seems like it's just more often than not that we have these big rallies in the market. And, of course, we have the Dow up 200 points this morning, 24,852 as we close in on the 25,000 level. But even more shocking here is the NASDAQ, which is up 58 points today. Do you know that we're just 4.5 points away from 7,000?
Gosh, I can't believe that.
We're at 6,995. On the NASDAQ, 6,995.5, which puts us 4.5 points away from 7,000. The S&P is up 18 to 2,694. The Russell 2000 up 19 points. That's a 1.25% move. That's a huge move for the small cap stocks this morning. Crude oil's up 3 cents, 57.33. Gold's up 7 bucks. 1264, and that all-important bond market, we're seeing the 10-year yield at 2.37% this morning. So welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. This is professional money manager Bill Gunderson, and I am in Orlando as our little Christmas trip moved from Charleston last night down to Orlando today. We'll be visiting. We'll be going to Mickey Mouse's Christmas party tomorrow after the market closes, and spending the Wednesday riding the rides. It's a small world after all, Stephen.
I thought you were there as an analyst. I thought you were just going to see how Disney's doing.
Yes, I am. I'm going to. You told me to buy Disney. I said, well, you know what? Let me check it out. Let me see how they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Got to check it out.
Christmas time, and you know, Grandpa, I'm Grandpa Bill. One of my favorite rides is It's a Small World with the little girl. So we're going to have some fun here later on this week. We're having some fun in the market today as the NASDAQ closes in on 7,000. Yes, only 4.5 points away from 7,000. And why have they popped the cork this morning on the market? Why the big rally? Pretty easy. Republicans expect tax bill passage this week. And, of course, what? Sunday is Christmas Eve. President Trump promised before Christmas that Santa Claus would come down the chimney and deliver a tax relief bill to large corporations and to individuals to try to stoke this economy. Now, I've been saying all along, you know, monetary policy only took us so far. Keeping interest rates at zero, quantitative easing, expanding the Fed balance sheet by leaps and bounds, what, up to $4.5 trillion on that Fed balance sheet. And what did it get us? It got us about 2% economic growth and $20 trillion in debt, okay? And I've been crying now for a couple, two, three, 4 years. I'm not the only one. Ben Bernanke was crying for some kind of fiscal relief. And who delivers fiscal relief? It ain't Santa Claus. It's the House and the Senate. And finally, it looks like they're going to come together. Even Corker, Stephen, did he say he was on board Friday?
Corker's on, yeah, that's right.
And
Rubio's back on?
Rubio's back. McCain's on. The gal from Maine, Collins, I guess, and the Murkowski up in Alaska. I guess they finally, have it all together. Kevin Brady said on Sunday morning talk shows that they were confident their tax overhaul would become law by the end of the week. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin also asserted that the Republicans were on the verge of passing the bill. And guess who's against it? Democrats remain united. You know, they stay united. Give them credit. Democrats remain united against the legislation, which is deeply unpopular with American voters. Well, I guess we'll find out, won't we, at the midterm elections.
Yep.
The bill has been criticized as benefiting corporations. Well, let's not forget who creates the jobs in America. And the wealthy, while hurting poor and middle-class families. And, of course, that's what you're going to hear over and over and over again. Only the 1% benefit from this tax relief. Well, we have a big rally in the market today. I think a lot of little guys have 401ks at work and IRAs and Roth IRAs, and they've seen them balloon here over the last year and 2-3 months. And the wealth effect, I think they're spending a little more at Christmas time. I think the consumer seems to be pretty strong right now. In the meantime, we can't go a day without mentioning Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Did I talk about Bitcoin in the newsletter? Yes, I did.
Yep, you mentioned it.
I warned, because I have seen some bubbles before in my lifetime. And Bitcoin, I believe, is one of those bubbles that will eventually burst. I'm not the only one warning. The SEC is warning, and the regulatory authorities in Great Britain are warning that you could lose all your money in Bitcoin. Now, that would be hard for me to imagine, but I think there's a lot of risk there in the Bitcoin. Now, today we have the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. Last week it was the Chicago Board of the Chicago Options, Chicago Board Options Exchange, the CBOE. Today it's the Mercantile Exchange that's trading Bitcoin futures under the ticker BTC. They began trading over the weekend. Each BTC contract represents 5 Bitcoins.
Okay.
And what's the price today of Bitcoin?
We're at $18,809.
Okay, so by buying a contract...
Down 5%.
Down 5%. So each contract represents about $90,000. Now, of course, it's leveraged. I don't know what the leverage ratio is, what one contract costs. We'll have to look into that. The one over on the Chicago Board of Exchange at the same time just represents 1 Bitcoin. And the symbol there is XBT. So if you really want to go big,
yeah, Bitcoin, just what we need, a leverage Bitcoin trading.
Yeah, well, 5 contracts.
Yeah.
And, of course, an options contract on stocks is 100 shares, but a Bitcoin contract is 1 Bitcoin on CBOE and 5 Bitcoins over at the CME. Bitcoin dropped following the launch yesterday, then it took back some ground, and you're telling me that right now Bitcoin is down 5%. What's it trading at today?
$18,809.
And how about the other two? What are the other two?
Ethereum's up 1%. It's to $729, and Litecoin is down 2% to $319.
Okay, and just to reiterate, we have no exposure to any of this. How about GBTC? How is the...
Actually, I have a little exposure to Bitcoin and Litecoin, but not anything substantial.
Yeah, about the size of a couple of baseball cards, right?
Yeah, I just want to try it out just to see...
Just to have a little
what
fun.
The process is, yeah.
Yeah,
and
okay.
Then, yeah, GBTC is up 17% to 3,165. Go figure.
Yeah, go figure.
I don't know how that. I don't know what that correlation is.
Well, you know, I think it's taking in the whole weekend move from the close on Friday to where it's opening today. So you have to take, because Bitcoin trades on Saturday and Bitcoin trades on Sunday.
Yeah.
But let's not forget that Andrew Left of Citron Research was saying there was a huge disparity between the GBTC and the actual Bitcoin itself. Yeah. And for that reason, he's got a big short position in GBTC. All right, when we come
money.
Back, I do want to talk a little bit about Disney today, who made a big purchase. I want to talk about Apple. I want to talk about more electric car plans. I want to talk about the death of the CEO. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. I am in Orlando, Florida with family. And Stephen is in Carlsbad in our BSN studios. And, you know, the question I get asked the most as I travel around here throughout the southeast, Stephen, is, did you survive the fires?
Yeah.
And, we were talking to some people yesterday at Waffle House. Good old Waffle House.
Love that place.
Yeah, we got Waffle Houses all around us. And they said, did you survive the fires? I said, well, you know what? We were not that far away. Bonsall, you had a day there. I think we were in Charleston at the time when Carlsbad was pretty smoky.
Yeah,
The office was pretty smoky. And I have a friend that I actually read about in the newspaper yesterday, Stephen, trainer Joe Herrick, who was a friend of ours when we lived out in horse country there. He trains horses. His dad was a big-time horse owner before he passed away recently. His dad was ran a big chain of motels and hotels and was real well off. He had his own box at Del Mar and everything, and his son was a trainer out at San Luis Rey Downs, which is where that fire hit, and that could have been a lot worse. There's 480 racehorses that are in training or housed there at San Luis Rey Downs. 45 burnt to death or died of smoke inhalation, and I read that trainer Joe Herrick's been in the hospital for ever since the fire hit with the burns over like 30-40% of his body. He's in the intensive care unit down in San Diego. He was rescuing horses and suffered quite a bit himself as he went around. You know what they had to do? They had to open up the stalls because those horses are in individual stalls, right, where they sleep,
right,
where they eat. And, of course, in the mornings, most of them get out and gallop around the track with the jockey. They go for their gallops, and that's when that fire hit. They were all in their stalls. And so the trainers, the grooms, the guys that worked at the track, they went around and opened up those stalls and let the horses go. And the horses actually kind of got into packs and were roaming the hills, and they had to retrieve them. But 45 horses burnt to death. Very, very sad, sad deal there. And Joe Herrick, we sent out our best wishes to him, who's in the burn unit at the hospital. All right, you want to buy an iPhone in India? Listen, Stephen, while I was here, Dad dropped his iPhone.
Uh-oh.
I have never broken a screen on my iPhone, but I must have hit it just right. We were at a famous restaurant in Charleston called Pugin's Porch, which is fried green tomatoes, shrimp and grits, Ronald Reagan, Barbara Streisand, everybody practically, you know, that's anybody, has eaten there. And now Bill Gunderson has eaten there, okay? And I thought it was quite good. But I dropped my phone in the parking lot, shattered the screen.
Oof.
And I found a place that was open on Sunday that repaired it. And I was talking to the kid in there, and I said, what, should I get a case? I don't like cases. He says, nah. He says, you know what? cases. They just make it. He said he just bought a phone. He just got one of these Android phones for $1,000.
Whoa.
Now, this is like a 18-year-old kid, right?
Yeah.
$1,000 phone.
Man.
And he said, I bought a case just because it's a $1,000 phone. But he says you have just as much chance of breaking the phone with a case as you do. Yeah. But I was reading today that Apple increased their iPhone pricing in India. We talked about this last week because India has slapped an import tax on imported iPhones. And now the iPhone in India sells for $1,646 per phone.
That's an expensive phone.
Yeah, and I was looking at Apple stock today. In fact, I'm going through my database this morning. We own Apple in the income and growth portfolio. Apple's having a good day today. Look at that chart.
Yeah.
That is a fresh breakout.
Yeah. It just broke out of resistance, it looks like.
It sure did. To new all-time highs. It has a relative strength of 86 right now. And I noticed how Apple has actually risen in rank here quite a bit in the app. Apple today is number 426 overall. My biggest issue with Apple, now Apple's up 50% so far in 2017. It's been a great year for the tech stocks. Apple, obviously a big player in the averages. Not only is it in the Dow Jones Industrial Average, but it's a big, big player in the NASDAQ. And part of that move in the market this year, a 50% move by Apple, I currently have a $280 target price on Apple. It's trading at $176 per share. That gives it 67% upside potential, which I like that 80% or more. And you say, well, when would you add to your position in Apple? I like this breakout that it's making today to new all-time highs. It's breaking through its resistance. You can see where that resistance line was, right at about 175, 176, and we're breaking through that today on very light volume. I don't like that. I think we're going to have a pretty light volume week in the market. I think there's a lot of people in Orlando this week, a lot of money managers are headed to the Hamptons or whatever. But that's a good move on Apple, and let's not forget that Apple also pays a 1.5% dividend yield. Man, I would own Apple stock over a U.S. Treasury in an Orlando minute, because I think that interest rates are going higher in 2018. I made a bold prediction last week that bonds will see negative returns this year. I still think that the stock market, we updated the the upside for the stock market still looks pretty good to me. Especially as we look out over the next couple of years. I mean, with the tax cut now, almost a certain thing, and with companies still growing their earnings, I published a new target price on the market for this year and next year. So if you didn't get the newsletter over the weekend, I spent about an hour and a half, going over the numbers on the S&P 500 earnings, projecting them out for this year, this coming year, and 2019, and I did it with the tax cuts and without the tax cuts. I think, don't you think, Stephen, we can draw a line through that without the tax cuts? Because we're going to get those tax cuts.
Sounds like we're going to get them, yeah. Unless something dramatic happens until then.
Yeah. So now, I see a good upside potential for the S&P 500. Now, I'm the guy who's been bullish on the market since March 27th, 2000. And nine. How many people have they paraded on to CNBC, especially market timers like myself, and onto Fox and the other financial channels that have said, stay in the market until I say stop? And I have not said stop all along the way. This market still looks good. As we get ready to turn the page on a new year, equities are still the place to be. The bond market is still the place to avoid. When we come back, we're going to talk about the electrifying plans on electric cars. The players are wanting to go down. Yeah, and welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, we've got Toyota today joining in the electrification plans. Listen to these ambitious long-term electrical vehicle targets. The Japanese automaker says it expects to sell more than 5.5 million electric vehicles by or around 2030. Okay, so that's quite a ways out in the future, but that's a lot of electric vehicles, and that's going to require a whole new infrastructure taking place across America. I noticed as I drove, we drove down from Charleston to Orlando last night, I didn't see a lot of electrical vehicle charging stations, Stephen. In fact, I don't think I saw one. But I think if they put one in every Waffle House parking lot, you'd have plenty to serve the whole stuff.
Hey, yeah, there we go.
Oh, my gosh. The company also pledged that by around 2025, every Toyota and Lexus vehicle will be available globally, either as a dedicated electrified model or have an electrified option. Now, that's pretty big. I mean, you're talking 7-8 years from now, every Toyota and Lexus vehicle. I mean, we're talking what? What are some of the Toyota models that are so popular? The, you know, all of your SUVs.
Yeah, the 4Runner, the Sequoia.
Exactly. Yeah. Everyone will be available globally, either as a dedicated electrified model or have an electrified option. Now, here's my argument, and Stephen will disagree with me on this. I think that when competition comes into the market, right now Tesla, they have a corner on the market right now of the luxury electric vehicle market. And I got to tell you, down here in the Southeast, I'm not seeing a lot of Teslas. I see a lot more Teslas out there in trendy Carlsbad and La Costa and Rancho Santa Fe than I see out here in Charleston and Orlando. And that's just my own observations. And I think once Tesla has some stiff competition from Toyota and Lexus, I think that's going to really, really hurt. Now, one other thing I would say, Jim Chanos was on CNBC last week. He is a notorious, he's probably the most negative guy you've ever met, right?
Okay.
He's never had a meal anywhere. This guy is just totally negative, and he's a big short seller. And his number one short is Tesla.
Yeah.
And here's his bold claim.
Okay.
And, you know, these short guys, they love to make bold claims because they sell newsletters and this
and
that.
Yeah, it gets them attention.
Well, and there's a certain group of people out there that love negative news. He says Tesla's going to zero.
Oh, wow. Okay.
To zero. Okay. Well,
I don't know about that.
Yeah, and I wrote about that in my newsletter. I don't think it's going to zero, but I'm of the ilk that it's not going to ever be profitable. I don't think Elon Musk's car division, Tesla, will ever be a profitable company. That's just one of my wild predictions. Now, maybe the truck will save him. I don't know.
You want to hear my two cents?
Yes, let's hear your two cents on the Tesla.
I don't think it'll ever go to zero. I think if it ever got into big trouble, I think someone would step in and buy them out. And I think because they don't have just a corner on the market. I think they're light years ahead of the market compared to what else is out there now and even what's coming down the track. So I think if they got into deep, deep, deep trouble, someone like an Apple or an Amazon or a Google would step in and I think save their sinking ship.
Yeah, maybe. And the other thing about Tesla is they've been collecting data. Their cars are data gatherers, and they're way ahead of everybody else when it comes to GPS, which is going to play into the autonomous car market. So he has a lot of technology that he could license and sell. Now, Toyota apparently is going in a different direction. They've been actively developing next-generation solid-state batteries, And they aim to commercialize this technology by the early 2020s. And Toyota has teamed up with Panasonic. And we've actually looked at Panasonic stock. It is in our app. In fact, Stephen, can you pull up PCRF? I believe it's PCRFY, and see where Panasonic is ranked overall in the app.
Yeah, it's number 477.
Yeah, and I've looked at it, you know, because Panasonic is a major player in lithium batteries.
And yeah, it has a good value grade, but the momentum grade is not very well.
Yeah, and the chart is not that strong. But that's who Toyota, they're teaming up with Panasonic to start a feasibility study on a joint automotive prismatic battery business in order to achieve the best automotive prismatic battery in the industry and ultimately contribute to the popularization of Toyota's and other automakers' electrified vehicles. So, you know, I think the battery technology, I think investing in some of these battery companies that are working on next generation, I mean, they're looking to get 1,000-mile ranges out of these
batteries.
That
would be huge, yeah.
And what is Musk, what's the car, the truck has a 900-mile range, right?
Yes, I believe so, or it's like 700,
but,
I think.
But, I mean, it's carrying a lot of batteries. You know,
right.
Okay, and the other thing I wanted to mention here, we're impacted by this news today. Last night on our trip from Charleston to Orlando, we went through Jacksonville. How the Jaguars doing, by the way? They're having a pretty good
show. I think they just locked in a playoff spot last night.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah, they're good.
I mean, you got to go back to the Brunell days when Mark Brunell was the quarterback when Jacksonville had an actual
they had
team.
Jimmy Smith and who was that running back? It was Fred Taylor?
Yeah, Fred Taylor, and they had Mark Brunell at quarterback, and they had a pretty good team. Well, Jacksonville's home to CSX Corp, which is the railroad, and we said last week about the CEO taking a leave of absence. Well, it wasn't a very long leave of absence because he passed away over the weekend.
Oh, wow.
And I see that CSX is actually up 11 cents this morning. They were down this morning about 4% following the death of CEO Hunter Harrison, who was very highly regarded in the railroad. He was considered to be a visionary. And so we'll see. You know, I own the stock. Talk about things you don't expect that come along from time to time in stocks that you own. Well, he went on medical leave last week. The stock has been hitting new highs recently, and it got hit on Friday when he went on the medical leave, passed away over the weekend, and right now the stock's up 19 cents. I'll have to reevaluate my position. I like the numbers on CSX. In fact, what is CSX ranked today, and what is its five-year target price? It is a $47 billion company.
It has a target price of $97, and it's ranked number 51.
Yeah, and it's trading at $53 per share today, and it's at 97 is my five-year target price. So I'm going to hold on to my CSX for now, but that was bad news over the weekend that the CEO, and he wasn't the only CEO to pass away, MTB Bank. You know, the bank stocks have been very strong. Where is MTB ranked right now? Symbol MTB, which is headquartered in Buffalo, New York. What kind of a ranking? The banks are ranked real, real high. What do you got on MTB?
It's at 706.
Okay. So, but I have seen a lot of banks. In fact, we bought two banks recently. But over the weekend, they lost their CEO. Robert Wilmers unexpectedly passed away over the weekend. He was 83 years old. He was both the chairman and the CEO. This has triggered the succession plan with lead outside director Robert Brady, now non-executive chairman, and the bank's three vice chairmen, Richard Gold, Renee Jones, and Kevin Pearson, with responsibility for day-to-day operations. So they had a succession plan in place, and I see the stock is actually up 2%. Why have the banks been moving higher? Several reasons. They pay the highest real tax rate of all of the sectors out there. So they stand to benefit the most of any sector. In fact, you know, technology with all of their R&D write-offs and other write-offs, they pay a much lower real tax rate. The average S&P 500 company pays a 26% tax rate. And last I heard, we're going to 21%. Okay, in the final quarter, I want to talk a little bit about Tencent Holdings, Seagate, Twitter, Amplify, several others. This is Bill Gunderson, Stephen Gunderson. We'll be right back. Obviously, we're having a very good day in the market today. We've talked about the reason why. I think a three-letter word, tax, is at the core of this rally in the market. We have the Republicans expected to pass the tax bill this week. We had Kevin Brady over the weekend on the Sunday show saying that the tax overhaul would become law by the end of the week. We have Treasury Secretary Mnuchin also asserting that the Republicans were on the verge of passing the bill. The Democrats staunchly against the passage of the bill. We have new options trading today, a new Bitcoin futures contract trading under the ticker BTC. That's being offered by the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. I have no exposure to Bitcoin. Have fun with it. I think I will continue to avoid it. Dazzling numbers for Disney's The Last Jedi, Stephen. $220 yeah. million brought in over the weekend. I don't know. Is that a good one? Do I need to go see The Last Jedi this week? Again?
Well, you never saw the one that came up before it, so you got to start there first.
I better watch the first Jedi before I watch the last Jedi. The huge weekend helped Disney cross over $2 billion in box office in the U.S. for the third straight year. And you know who has the significant market share lead in at the movies? It's Disney. And, you know, look, I grew up next to a drive-in theater there in Point Loma, and they got all of the Disney movies back then, the big ones, the blockbusters, and they showed them for weeks on end. And I can still remember every Friday and Saturday night, the long, long lines down Midway Drive with families, station wagons full of kids to see the latest Disney movie. And even today, as I take a look at my five grandchildren, what's their favorite movies by far? Disney. Yep. It got, you know, little Lila out here in South Carolina. She wears her Frozen pajamas. They're in tatters, Stephen, because she's still wearing her Elsa. But she will not let go of those Elsa pajamas. And, of course, you know, your daughter had a Moana, little Gwynnie had her Moana birthday party. Yep. And out here in South Carolina, little Melissa had her Moana birthday party. And Disney continues to be a powerhouse. But you and I discussed the stock, and my biggest problem is it's a 6% grower. And I have a problem with that. And that doesn't even qualify it for my dividend and income portfolio because I don't like the growth rate. On the other hand, we talked about a dividend payer in Apple, pays a 1.5% dividend yield. Stock breaking out to new all-time highs today. Good upside potential. 1.5% dividend yield. And despite a $1,646 price tag on the iPhone X in India, Apple remains a powerhouse of a stock. And in fact, as we look at the market capitalization now of Apple, as it closes in on $1 trillion, $905 billion. Who knows? I mean, a 10% move this year in 2018 would take it to the first $1 trillion company. Okay, another one that we don't hear a lot about, but you do hear on our show, is Tencent Holdings. Tencent Holdings is a $485 billion company, about half of what Apple is. But I tell you what, they are just getting into everything. And I see more news on Tencent as they make another major purchase. They are becoming more like the Amazon of China, along with Alibaba. Tencent Holding is taking making an $863 million investment in an apparel platform, VIP Shop Holding, which is VIPS. You can look up the chart on that, VIPS. Let's see how it's doing today. We've got Tencent Holdings making a major investment in VIPS. I've watched that. Oh, my gosh. You see that stock today, Stephen?
Yeah.
VIPS. Yeah. Bolting higher on news of a Tencent Holdings stake.
Wow.
And they're also investing $600 million for a 7% stake in JD.com. Or JD.com is also investing in VIPS. JD is also breaking out today. And JD is the one that is handling most of Walmart's online platform. And you know what? Walmart seems to be becoming a big player. I mean, that's the only way they can compete with Amazon, right, is to improve their online platform.
Right.
Right.
For Walmart, a big deal down here in the Southeast. We see giant Walmarts down here in the Southeast in Florida and South Carolina, Georgia, et cetera. Walmart becoming a major player. One way to play with the Walmart online presence is through JD.com. JD shares up 3.7% today. VIP Shops is up, 20? Let's see. I think it's up 40% this morning.
Yeah, 45%.
Yeah, 45% move on a VIPS, which is a big Chinese online retailer. Okay, I want to talk about one other one. No, I don't have time. I'm running out of time. Let's just mention Seagate. I talked about Seagate last week with you, Stephen. That stock's on a roll recently, but the thing that really caught my eye on the memory maker or the disk drive maker, dividend yield of 5.9%. And I do not currently own Seagate, which is headquartered in the United Kingdom, but I'm kind of looking at it out of the corner of my eye. It's a technology stock. It's a major player. It's a market cap of, what, $12 billion, and they pay almost a 6% dividend yield. So, you know what? I'd take a dividend-paying stock any day of the week over these bonds. Okay, you, Stephen, you take us home here. Tell them about the how they can sign up with us.
Yeah.
For management and the newsletter.
All right. Yeah, if you want to read the newsletter we sent out on, what was that, Friday afternoon, you can still do so by signing up on GundersonCapital.com. You go to the newsletter tab, and you can sign up for a free 4-week trial if you haven't received it before. And you can see what Bill had to say over the weekend and what he thinks of the market going forward. And if you want to become a client and have Bill manage your money, you can also go to GundersonCapital.com, or you can call us at 855-611-BEST. So have a good day today, Bill, at Disney World, and we'll talk to all of you tomorrow. Have a great day, everyone.
Okay.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.